Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. We invite you to check out our website at gostonebridge.com and follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at SBChurch, and give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/gostonebridge. This week, Pastor Steve Bradley kicks off our brand new series, Overcoming Inertia. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Well, good morning. Happy pre-Thanksgiving weekend, is that right? Something like that. This is the weekend before we go into Thanksgiving. When we started this series, Overcoming Inertia, the things that, you know, that get you just over the hump, get you out of the rut, cause you to, you know, find some energy and some power and some movement that you didn't have. One of the things that popped into my mind when we were playing this early on was growing up and watching the space program. And when they sent the Apollo capsules and the Apollo missions to the moon, there was a rocket. And do you remember the name of the rocket? The Redstone was first, but then after that was the ones that actually went to the moon were the Saturn V rocket. Yeah, still actually used in a different form. Now, a huge rocket, and it was one of the things that I loved about it. My brother was a model rocket guy, was just to look at it and to see the capsule, those Apollo capsules at the very top, and this gigantic rocket. And you thought, so that's the only place there are people, right? The only place that's going to survive or come back, and all of this is just to get them there. Wow, so much energy, so much power to get out of the Earth's atmosphere, to get, you know, from ground zero all the way up to outer space and eventually get to the moon. I looked up some facts on it just to kind of to be able to show that you know, I know what I'm talking about and I'm impressive, but I'll forget them quickly because I just looked them up. But the first stage of the rocket, three stages on the Saturn V, the first stage of the rocket contained over 200,000 pounds of a kerosene type of fuel and over 300,000 pounds of liquid oxygen. So you can see why they were afraid of, you know, explosions, of fires with all that, carrying out that. The second stage contained a hydrogen fuel, and still contained about 200,000 pounds of hydrogen fuel, only about 80,000 pounds of liquid oxygen. Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Now we're not carrying quite as much. And then the third stage still contained a large amount of fuel, hydrogen fuel and liquid oxygen. I was like, wow, that's enormous. I mean, almost a million pounds of fuel just to get that capsule up out of the Earth's atmosphere and get it to the moon and then get it back. And it was almost all spent just getting out of the Earth's atmosphere. Sometimes we feel like that, right? Sometimes we feel like, listen, it's going to take something beyond anything I understand, anything I've ever comprehended, to get me out of this rut that I'm in, to get me moving again, to get me to, you know, have a hope in my life again. And I think the one thing that can do that for you, I think it's the thing that propels people more than anything else, is this sense of thankfulness and sense of gratitude. That's why I call this one gratitude lifts the attitude. It does. It takes us to an entirely different place in life. But I want to do the message a little bit different. In fact, this is one of the things I really like. I don't know if you like articles like this, but I really like when people write articles like this. Underneath that, I want to list for you 10 things that happy people never forget. 10 things that happy people never forget. And absolutely, I'm intentionally throwing it out there that way, hoping that you'll dig in and say, now, wait a minute, I'm not so sure about this. Or you might come up with some others and say, well, you missed this. 10 things that happy people never forget. In fact, I came up with about 28, but unfortunately, the outline won't hold that many, and y'all won't stay here till 2 o'clock, so we had to cut it down to only 10 things. So are you thankful for that? Yeah, you should be. Okay, just let you know, you should be. 10 things. Here we go. 10 things that happy people never forget. The first one is that happiness comes from somewhere. It comes from somewhere. And I would continue that it comes, you know, in its most powerful form from gratitude. Gratitude changes us when we realize that someone has done something for us that is outside of us. They've gone out of their way. It changes everything for us. It changes our whole approach to life. Here, look at this verse in Genesis. This is Jacob, who is also called Israel. And Jacob is at the end of his life. Jacob has lived in Egypt, where he ended up because of his son Joseph is their rescuer and saves them from famine, and his whole family moves to Egypt. And he's lived there for 17 years. He's 147 years old at this time. And Israel, or Jacob, he calls his son in and he asks him for something. He says, I don't want to be buried here. When I die, I don't want my bones or my gravesite to be in Egypt. I want it to be in the land that God promised, in the promised land, in the land of what would later become Israel. He said, that's where I want to be buried. And so this is what it says in chapter 47, verse 31. It says, Israel said, this is Jacob, Israel, promise me. Joseph promised. Israel, catch this, he bowed his head in submission and gratitude, you know, there at the foot of his bed to Joseph. This is the father bowing in submission and gratitude to his son Joseph. Why would he do this? It's actually pretty simple, isn't it? Joseph had the power to do something for Jacob that Jacob could not do for himself. And he recognized it. He knew that, you know, when I die, there's no way I can move myself there, that I can move my own bones there. I'm looking for someone else's, you know, graciousness, their compassion. I'm going to look to my son who is, you know, younger than I am. But he has no problem submitting himself and bowing to him in this gratitude and this thankfulness to him because of what he is about to do. Yeah, it changes us when we are thankful and grateful. Or how about this verse out of Luke chapter number 7? This is when Jesus is, he's at a Pharisee's house. A religious leader has called him to his house, and a woman comes, and she pours very expensive perfume and oil over, anoints his head, and the Pharisee is indignant. He looks at him, and he's saying to his friends, if he knew what kind of woman this was, you know, that this was an immoral woman, he wouldn't let her touch him or wouldn't have me. How could he? What kind of man is this? And Jesus actually uses this, as he often did, as a moment to teach the Pharisee and to teach those who were there about how God saw people and how God saw life. And listen to this verse. This is verse 47 in Luke chapter 7. He says, impressive, isn't it? Not the way that the Pharisee would look at it, but the way Jesus did. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is, say this part with me, so she is what? Very, very, yeah, many, many sins. She is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, he says, guess what? The gratitude will be what? Yeah, it'll be proportional to that. It will be minimal also. She recognizes what has been done for her. She recognizes the forgiveness that was given to her, the love and compassion that has been given to her, and this happiness that she has in her life. In fact, it really fits the song that we just sang before we started, this sense of contentment. Contentment is this lasting happiness in your life. A lot of things make you happy, but they quickly that happiness leaves you. But there's this lasting contentment in your life that this just hard to explain. It's hard to put your hands around. Paul talks about it in Philippians. In Philippians, he says this. He says, listen, I've had much, I've had little. I've learned how to be content in all those circumstances and all those situations. I've learned to live with a lot. I've learned to live with, to go hungry and not to have anything. But contentment and lasting happiness, what Paul is saying is, actually has nothing to do with what you have or how much you have. But see, we think of happiness in that way, right? But he said, but there's something much more powerful that brings lasting happiness, contentment in your life. He said, I've learned the secret of it. It's where the famous verse then comes out of that, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Most of us think of that verse meaning, oh good, I can, you know, win the Olympics, you know, or I can be, you know, a superstar. Well, actually the verse is much more powerful than that. Because Paul is saying, no, that's the thing that actually causes me to live with a lot and I'm okay with it, and to live with little, to be full and to go hungry also. You know why? Because those things aren't lasting. But he says, through Christ, I've found what lasts, what matters. He's found this lasting happiness or this lasting contentment. Here's the second thing happy people never forget. They never forget to express their thankfulness, their gratitude, right? They understand that if someone does something for you, goes out of their way, that it's absolutely proper, it makes absolute sense. How can you not express that gratitude to the person, and maybe even to other people? Look at what it says in Luke 17. This is 10 chapters later in the gospel according to Luke. And he says this. He's actually, in this situation, Jesus is standing there, and 10 lepers come. And they see Jesus, and they call out to him. And this is one of those situations that's really powerful, because people were afraid to death of people with leprosy, because it was a disease in their day that they didn't know how to deal with. It was really a fatal diagnosis, because if you had leprosy, you were going to be an outcast. No one was going to have anything to do with you. And as Jesus hears them calling, look at what it says in verse number 14. He says, taking a good look at them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, I want you to catch this, because like I said, people didn't even pay attention to you if you had leprosy. It's one of those situations where he's got leprosy, I don't even look at him, because I can't fix it. I can't help them. I could catch it. So it's something that normally you ignore a person that has leprosy in their day. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus actually, it's very, very vivid here. He takes a good, hard, long look at them. Now, I think that would have, you know, caught them off guard right there, that, boy, he's really looking at us, you know. And then he says, go show yourself to the priest. It's interesting. If you were cured of leprosy, in the law, there was a whole regimen that you would go through, showing yourself to the priest and offering an offering of thanksgiving to God for this cleansing. Jesus tells them, go show yourself to the priest. They still have leprosy. He's sending them before it actually happens. Go offer thanksgiving even before it happens. And then it says in the next sentence, they went, and while they were on their way, they became what? Yeah. While they were on their way, they were cured of the disease. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. It's a famous verse where Jesus then says, weren't there 10? Right? Where are the other 9? One comes back. Interesting, the one that came back was a Samaritan. Now that even doubles down on the problem, because Jesus is Jewish, and Jews and Samaritans were completely, you know, separate from each other. The Samaritans would have been outcast to the Jews and vice versa. And so this man, who is also a Samaritan who had leprosy, Jesus actually, he actually heals. So happy people realize they never forget to express their gratitude. Here's the third thing. Happy people never forget that gratitude is a powerful, starts with an A, a powerful awareness. I was talking to a group of young guys before a couple years ago, and I used this, and I said that it's a powerful gratitude. Thanksgiving is a powerful, starts with an A, and one of the guys said aphrodisiac. You know, so okay, young guys, yeah, they were young marrieds. I understand, completely understand, and I had to admit, yeah, it might be. You know, I didn't think about that one, but in this case, what I want you to understand is it's a powerful awareness in your life. It really is. It changes how you see things. When you are a grateful or a thankful person. Here's what Philippians says, Paul also writes. He says, don't worry about anything. That means don't be overly anxious about things. Instead, what does he say? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And do what? Thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is one of those things that I've noticed in life that is absolutely true, and I've experienced it in my own life. When there are things that I'm worried about, things I can't control, I don't know how to fix things. Sometimes it's a friend or someone I know that has a struggle, and I will turn to God. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. This is not something I can do. In fact, sometimes in my prayers, I will say, God, I don't even understand why they're going through this. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I've learned this always, to thank God in advance, to be grateful to God for all that He's done, the fact that He hears my prayers, that God cares, He is concerned about those things, and that God has answers, always has answers, I don't know about and I don't understand. And then something wonderful happens, and it really is true. I've experienced it many times. There's some sense of peace and contentment. It's like a deep, resonating happiness that just comes over you because you have God to turn this over to. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I don't know the psychology behind it. I don't know, you know, how it exactly works. I just know when you look to God that way and you take your requests and you take your prayers to God in that way, rather than worrying and churning and grinding, but instead you take them to God, it changes how we see life and how we feel about life. Here's the fourth one. Those people that are happy never forget that gratitude connects something. It connects humbleness and happiness. And there is a connection there, but it's gratitude, thankfulness, that makes the connection between humbleness and happiness. There's this wonderful book in the Old Testament called the Book of Ruth, somewhere right before the Psalms, if you look at it. Short book, and Ruth loses her husband. She goes with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She ends up down in to this little town called Bethlehem. You've probably heard of it around Christmas especially. And as she's there taking care of her mother-in-law, she issues this famous saying, "Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God." You know, this is great loyalty to her. And as she goes down there, they're very poor in Bethlehem. She doesn't have much, but she sticks with this loyalty, even though Naomi says, "No, go back to your people. Go back home." But she says, "No." And there's this landowner, and his name is Boaz. What a great name. How many people have named their kids Boaz? Okay, nobody named, okay, a great name, Boaz. And Boaz has fields of grain, and he employs people to work the fields and to cut the grain. And in their day, the Hebrews were commanded that the poor were allowed to follow the reapers, those who were cutting the grain, and pick up what was dropped or which was left. And there was some profit in that, but they were commanded to do this. And she, Ruth, is following along, picking these things up. And Boaz notices her. He knows about what she's done. He understands who she is. It was certainly made her attractive to him, apparently. And Boaz goes up to her, and he speaks to her. And this is what her response is. This is in Ruth 2:10. It says, "Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly." Wow. She's just showing gratitude to this man who is taking care of her and Naomi. And then she says this, "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner. I don't even belong here. This is not where I grew up. I wasn't a part of this town. Why would you show such kindness, such gratitude to me?" See, that's a real humility in her life, right? She could have said, "You know, I demand certain things, or I expect certain things." A lot of people are afraid of humility because they connect humility with some sense of insignificance and some sense of lack of esteem and some sort of, you know, cowering around, where humility means that you see yourself as you really are. You recognize that there are other people in the room, other people in the world besides yourself, and you recognize they're just as important. Actually, the scripture says you should look at them as saying, they are more important than I am. But you also recognize this: there's a God in heaven who is much more important than I am. In fact, He's the one that gave me life. He's the one that put me here. The reason someone extends kindness to me is probably because God in some way has extended kindness to them, and this is part of their way of showing thankfulness and gratitude, is to show it back to me also. That's humility. You realize there are connections in life, and the connections go from God to people experiencing the things God wants them to experience. It goes from humility to happiness. Fifth thing is this. Happy people never forget that gratitude reveals what other people miss. You know, one of the reasons I like the illustration of the rocket is because most of us just go through life and we only see what we see, what's right in front of us. We just miss so many things that if we just lifted up our head, we just looked up, we'd say, wow, I never knew that was there. I never saw God that way before. I never looked at, you know, how other people treated people with gratitude and kindness and just the difference that it made in somebody else's life, because a lot of times we're just too focused on the things that we want that it just sort of narrows our vision. It just sort of blinds us to even more powerful and more important things. Look at what Paul writes in the book of Colossians. And he's writing it when he says, and masters, this would be the same thing as saying, you know, an employer or someone who was, you know, a boss over thing or owned a company. He says, and masters, treat your servants considerately. That means those who work for you. In our day, that's how this would fit. He says, be fair to them. Don't forget for a minute that you too serve a master who? Yeah, God in heaven. See, I think Boaz knew that. Boaz just looked at his own life and said, well, I mean, if God had not, you know, dealt with me, put me in this place, at this, you know, certainly Boaz had worked toward what he had, but he also recognizes that a lot of what he has is a gift from God. And that one day, he will answer to that same God for what he has, for what he has been given, for the gifts, the opportunities, the place. I don't know if you recognize that, but that's true with me and you also. It's not just what you have and, you know, and what you've made of it and say, just look at me. But one day, the God who gave you those things, he asked us to answer for those things. And as Jesus said, to the one who's given much, guess what is required? Yeah, much. The one who's given less, what is required? Less, sure. But God gives and God expects that we would do something with it and know that one day we will answer to the one who gave to us. And then he goes on to say this in Colossians, verse number 2. It says, pray diligently, stay alert. And that's exactly what Boaz does. Stay alert. With your eyes wide open in what? Yeah, in gratitude. In thankfulness. That means your eyes are wide open. You're not just looking at what you have and what you do. You're looking at something beyond that. You see something that other people miss. Here's a sixth thing that I've noticed that happy people never forget. They never forget how easy it is to take grace for granted. It's really easy to take grace for granted. Listen to this out of Romans chapter 12. This is a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, verse number 3. If you look in your Bibles, you're going to say, verse 3 is not that long. He really kind of lengthens it out, taking verse 3 at its meaning. And I think this is really good. I think you'll like this. This is what he says. He says, I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relationship to you. So he's kind of talking two different levels there. Living then as one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. Don't get it confused. Don't think that you're the one who is bringing good things to God. He says, no, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are or what we do for him. See, people that are happy, they realize, man, it would be really easy for me to miss it and to somehow take the things that God has done for me and his goodness for me, not show gratitude, not be thankful to God, but just take it as, hey, I mean, that's, you know, my right, isn't it? This is what I deserve. Someone should give this to me. You know, one of the things I've noticed, I don't know about you, one of the things I noticed, in our society, it's really hard not to be envious of other people. Have you noticed that? In fact, all marketing is built on this one principle. If I can make you envious, I can sell you a product. And I'm not saying that, you know, something should be done away with. It's just where human beings are. It's just the nature of who you and I are. And so marketing is done this way. You need this. You want this. You are less of a person without this. Other people have this. You should have this. And it's just pushed and pushed. Because if you can't create the need or the envy or the want or the desire or the lack of satisfaction with your status or your possessions or what you look like in life, you can't sell people things. It's just part of modern day marketing. But listen, God doesn't want you to fall into that. He doesn't want you to think that you have to have all those things to be somebody, or you have to have all those things for your life to be important or significant. The satisfaction is not going to come, not lasting satisfaction and contentment, not from those things. It's going to come from bigger things, more powerful things, more important things than just that. Look at number seven. This is another thing that those people who are happy, they never forget. That is that giving back shows deep affection. Deep affection to the person you give to, also to the person who's given to you. In 2 Corinthians, this is what Paul writes. He says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be, say this word, you will always be what? Did you know that God does that for you? That God enriches you in some ways so that you can be a generous person to other people. You have things, you have characteristics or traits that other people don't have. You are rich in those so that you can be generous to other people. And he says, and when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. In this case, they were taking a gift to the believers in Jerusalem. So he says in verse 12, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. That's one. And he says, and the second thing, and they will joyfully express their thanks to who? I don't know if you've noticed this, but whenever you do something for someone else, I mean, you really go out of your way and someone doesn't expect it and they express gratitude. This is what I've noticed. When somebody's just overwhelmed with gratitude, many times they will thank God. Have you noticed that? I have. And I don't even know if they believe in God, but they realize this is more than just, you know, what people do for one another. And they're so overwhelmed with it, they will break out in just thanking God. I've had people break out in singing to God before. You know, it's just because you helped them and you think, but that's the way they look at it. They realize God sent you. Maybe God did something for you that caused you to want to do something for me. And in that way, God is doing certainly something through you. Here's the ninth thing that happy people never forget, and that is that thankfulness can help you make good decisions. It really can. It sort of clears the way for you as far as your reasoning and the way you see things, and it helps you not to, you know, fall into the traps that are set out there for you. And this is what he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is a young guy. Paul is trying to educate. He says, for everything created by God, say this with me, everything created by God is what? It's good. Nothing is to be rejected if, here's the condition, if it is received with what? Gratitude, with thankfulness. He says, for it is sanctified by the word and with prayer. You know what that means? God is the giver of all good things. And in the context of this, he's reminding Timothy, there are those who are going to come and they're going to teach you something different. And they're going to forbid all kind of things. And they're going to put all kind of restrictions on you. He said, some are going to forbid marriage. Right? There are even people that say, well, Paul, he said people shouldn't get married. Actually, he didn't. It's a misunderstanding of the passage when he says, look, I'm not married and I wish you were this way. He's just talking about the work of the gospel. He didn't forbid marriage. And he says, and some people are going to come and they're going to teach you, you shouldn't eat. Here are all these things that you shouldn't eat. Listen, you receive everything as being good and as a gift from God if you can look at it and you can give thanks to God for it, because it's sanctified by the things that God has said, how we're supposed to live, what we're supposed to do, and it's sanctified by our going to God and taking it to God. Gratitude and thankfulness can actually make you or help you make really good decisions in life, kind of cut through the confusion or what other people might be saying, so that you can go to God and you can say, listen, God has given me this. And if you can look at it and say, God has given me this, there's nothing wrong with it in God's eyes, you know, what he says, who he is, so I'm going to give thanks and I'm going to take this that God has given me. And here's number 10, finally, the last one. Happy people never forget that a lack of gratitude is a danger to the soul. A lack of gratitude is a danger to our soul. Here's the Phillips It's an older paraphrase, J.B. Phillips, which I love. And J.B. Phillips, here's his paraphrase of 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. He says, "But you must realize that in the last days, the times will be," say this with me, "will be" what? "Full of danger." That means, you listen, the times that we live in, there are all kinds of ways to get off track and go the wrong direction and really find ruin for our soul. He says, "Men will become utterly self-centered, greedy for money, full of big words." That really applies to preachers. "Full of big words." I'll say that again. "They will be proud and contemptuous, without any regard for what their parents taught them. They will be utterly lacking in" what? "Gratitude, purity, normal human affections." I was reading a counselor. She has been a counselor, big counselor for over 40 years. And this is what she said, which was really interesting to me. She said, "The one thing I've noticed in my decades and decades and decades of counseling people and helping them through their problems is that people who lack thankfulness and gratitude, that just wasn't a part of how they saw life, those people also had the biggest problems with impurity in their life, because they were looking for something else to replace the happiness that they had lost, that was no longer there, and that could be there if they learned thankfulness and gratitude." Here's what it goes on to say in the next sentence. "They will be men of unscrupulous speech and have no control of themselves. They will be passionate and unprincipled, treacherous, self-willed, and conceited, loving all the time what gives them pleasure instead of loving God. They will maintain a facade of religion, but their conduct will deny its validity." You must keep clear of people like this. Hey, listen, this is good stuff, isn't it? You don't want to spend your life with people like that. You don't want people who have no gratitude and no thankfulness in their life. They will chase after all sorts of things that only tear them down and tear down the people who are around them. I have a friend. I know you're surprised by that. I have a friend that he's a preacher. And his name is Tom Griffin. And every Thanksgiving, I try to ignite a viral display of Griffinisms. And we call him Griff, if you're his friend. But Griff is not a guy who writes much or things like that. But he comes up with the most profound things sometimes. And one time we're going down the road, and we're driving, and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, he just says this. "You know," he says, "you know, I've noticed something. I've never met a happy person who wasn't also a thankful person." And I just sat at the red light and said, "That is absolutely profound. Where did that come from?" You know, I know it couldn't come from him, you know, because it's just, you know, and 5 minutes later, he forgot he even said it. But I haven't forgotten it. You know, I've hung on to it because I thought, that is absolutely profound. I've never met, I want you to think about this. I've never met a happy person who wasn't also a thankful person. You know, I think he's right. I've never met a happy person that wasn't a thankful person, who didn't look at their life, see their lives as someone has done something for me. They've gone out of their way to do something for me. When I was a kid, one of the psalms that I memorized, I don't know about you, but it was Psalm 100, you know, the 23rd Psalm, and Psalm 100. I've noticed that Psalm 100 is not done or talked about as much as Psalm 23 still is, but Psalm 100 was just a wonderful psalm. And I want to read it for you just so I don't mess it up memory-wise. But this is Psalm 100 out of the King James Version, which is very poetic. And I think that if you listen to it and you think about it, you might have memorized it yourself. You'll see just how powerful this psalm of thanksgiving is. This is what the psalmist writes. He says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord," do you know it? "All ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture." That's just a metaphor that we belong to him, for them. So he says, so enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. This idea of his mercy is everlasting, give you a little Hebrew lesson. You need to learn some Hebrew today. This is the word hesed for mercy. Hesed is a word in the Hebrew that means mercy or grace given to someone or loving kindness that is shown to someone. But it's not just that. It means it's shown to you on the basis of the one who is giving you mercy and showing you loving kindness. He, that person or she, has committed themselves to loving you and showing mercy to you and being kind to you. It comes from the commitment of the one who is showing those things for you. That's hesed. His loving kindness, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. See, that's God with us. God is committed to us. God, because of who he has decided to show mercy and loving kindness to us. And our natural response, in fact, it is the response that will lift you up. It will change who you are, is to do what? Is to express gratitude and express thanksgiving. Let me summarize it real quickly. Tell you the 10 things, again, read them for you just real quickly, because I want you to kind of hang on to these and you can add to them or write me and say I disagree. That's great. Here are the 10 things, once again, that happy people never forget. Number one, they never forget that happiness comes from somewhere. It comes from gratitude. It comes from thanksgiving. They never forget to express their thankfulness. They never forget that gratitude is a powerful awareness in life. They never forget that gratitude connects humbleness with happiness. They never forget that gratitude reveals what so many other people just miss in life. Happy people never forget that it is easy to take grace for granted. Happy people never forget that giving back shows deep affection to the one you're giving to and the one who's given to you. Happy people recognize that gratitude is a mark of maturity in our lives. Happy people recognize that thankfulness can help you make good decisions in life. And happy people never forget that a lack of gratitude is a danger to your soul. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Something that we say all the time, but we really do thank you. Because you've given us life. We're here, we are who we are because you're the one who chose to put us here, to give us this day, this life today. And God, you didn't leave us by ourselves or leave us alone because you know how prone we are to mess things up, to get our eyes on the wrong things, to sort of lose sight of who you are and what you've done and how powerful that is in our lives. So God, you are the one who pursued us. You had a great love and a compassion for us. It's just who you are. And even when we sinned, we failed, we messed things up, you were the one who rescued us by giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to change the direction of our life, to change how we saw you, and to feel and to learn to express a new sense of thankfulness and gratitude in our own hearts and in our lives. If you're here this morning, you've never given your heart, your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you say, I just never realized what he did for me. It's changed knowing this, how I see myself. Changed the hope that I have for life. I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to know him. If he gave his life for me to set me free, I want to be free. I want to live free the way he set me free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.